Take your Bibles and let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Today is Sunday, April the 20th, 2025. Resurrection Sunday. You know, all four of the Gospels give details about that first day that Jesus Christ appeared to human beings. There's a little information also in 1 Corinthians 15. But those four gospel records, it takes a little time and study to put them all together, the timeline, the chronology, and the best I know is in this book, Jesus Christ, Our Passover, where you can see the timeline, but they all do fit together if you take the time to work them. And this morning, before we read the record in Luke, there's something interesting that we'll look at for a minute or two in the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Matthew. So John chapter 11, this is when Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. And we'll pick up the record, John 11, we'll pick it up in verse 39 is where we'll start, kind of in the middle of this. Jesus said, John 11, 39, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days." But Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone, which is how they would seal those tombs with a stone. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead, 4 days, remember, came forth, bound hand and feet with grave clothes. And his face was bound with a napkin, or we might even say handkerchief. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." So what's important to notice here is that God is giving us some details about burial. They would, when they buried them, they would wrap them in linen clothes. They would put spices in the folds. And for the head and face, they used a napkin or, you know, we'd say maybe a handkerchief. So keeping that in mind, let's go to Matthew 28, one of the gospel records concerning that wonderful day when people saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 28. It says, and behold, Matthew 28, verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I love this. Isn't that great? Just sat on it. Oh, and you can, you know, read the rest of the record there about the soldiers and all that. But the angel rolled the stone away, not so Jesus could walk out like Lazarus did. He didn't roll away the stone and then say, "Jesus, come forth," right? Jesus was already up. The stone wasn't rolled away so that Jesus could walk out. It was rolled away so people could look in. And that's what we see in John chapter 20, and then we'll get to Luke. But in John chapter 20, if you would turn there, John chapter 20, and we'll look at verse 3. It says, Peter therefore went forth, John 20, verse 3, Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher, and stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. There then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie. This is the grave clothes. It's twice it's mentioned that. And the napkin, verse 7, that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Isn't this interesting? It is amazing. What a sight to behold. When he went in there, where they laid Jesus, the grave wrappings, those linen clothes, were just there. No body in them. And then over here to the side somewhere was the napkin or that handkerchief that was just folded, wrapped up nicely, not with that. An empty shell. Oh, man, what a sight. Well, go to Luke chapter 24. I thought it would be interesting just to note that, what Peter saw in the tomb. And there's an article on the website, confidenceandjoy.com, that goes into a little more detail than what we just looked at. But I wanted to look at Luke 24 today because, as we read in Luke 24, note the importance of the scriptures that is threaded throughout this record. The importance of the scriptures that God gives us in this record. So Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they, the angels, said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Remember, he said that? And they remembered his words. The angels were reminding them of what Jesus Christ said, and he spoke about it a number of times, right? They needed reminding. And next Sunday, we're going to see from God's Word the importance of remembering and being reminded. We're in verse 9, right? Verse 8 says, they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. We're not listening to the... No, don't even bother, okay? Don't. And they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. 60 furlongs. And scholars say that that was around 7 miles. So, depending on how fast you walk, a couple hours, 2.5 hours, somewhere around there. Verse 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And verse 10 says, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Another record says that regarding this incident, that Jesus appeared in another form. Kind of a cool resurrected body he had. So they didn't know who it was. You know, verse 16 says, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. When Jesus appeared to Mary at the tomb, which is in another record in John's gospel, he was not in another form, right? She recognized him. Remember, he said, you know, why are you crying? She thought he was the gardener. Well, if you've taken him away, let me know where he is. And then Jesus went, Mary. Wow. So we know that record, right? So why didn't Jesus Christ walk up to these guys and say, hey, where are you going? Look, it's me. I've been raised from the dead. Why did he not do that with these men? Because, as we'll see in this record, there was something very important that these men needed to realize. And not only them, but us also. Verse 17. Jesus is going to speak to them. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto them, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted. We had really hoped that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We were so hoping that he was the long-awaited redeemer. And beside all this, today's the third day since these things were done. And you know what else? Certain women also of our company made us astonished. Remember? Idle words. They didn't believe them. Made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they'd seen a vision of angels. Yeah, right. Which said that he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulcher and found it, even as the women had said, but him they saw not. It's over. It's done. Then he, Jesus Christ, verse 25, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That's the reason. He could have said, Cleophas, it's me. I'm raised from the dead. Where are you going? Why are you going? Nope. What was so important to the Lord Jesus Christ was the scriptures. Believe the scriptures. They were obviously sad. They were grieving. They were disappointed. They were discouraged. They had no joy, but Jesus Christ is about to take them into the scriptures. That's a great lesson for us. Ever been sad? Ever been discouraged? Ever been disappointed? Ever had no joy? Head in the book. Verse 26. Jesus Christ said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, let's see, what book of the Bible would that be? Oh, Genesis. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Oh, don't you wish you had a recording of that? And then a translator. Because you wouldn't know the language. But you know, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, he just took them through the whole Old Testament, all the scriptures, all the prophecies pertaining to him. Oh my gosh. Verse 26 says, 28, sorry, thanks. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. It's toward evening. The day is late here. The day is far spent. Come on with us. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. He was no longer in another form. It was like, oh, it's Jesus. And then it says, poof, he vanished. Is that what it says? He vanished out of their sight. So, my gosh, it's never happened to me. I've never been sitting at a table eating with someone, and then they just vanished. What a day this was. He vanished out of their sight. Now, look at this next verse, 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Woven throughout this whole record in Luke 24, God is putting emphasis on the scriptures, the written word of God. The Word of God. You know, Jesus Christ always spoke the things that God told him. So when he spoke, he was speaking what? The Word of God, God's Word. And right at the beginning of this record, the angel said, don't you remember what he told you? How he said he was going to be crucified and then be raised the third day? Remember? Remember he told you that? And it was, oh, yeah. Now we remember. They needed reminding of that. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? It's the scriptures. It's the word of God that can turn us from sadness to joy. God's word is that powerful. Remember that verse that says he sent his word and healed them? That healing would also apply to mentally. Discouragement, a broken heart. Doesn't it say that in Psalm 34? God is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and comforts them that are of a broken spirit. What's the greatest comfort you can get is God's word. He sent his word and healed them. Remember Jeremiah? Thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. What a great lesson for us. These guys are now pumped up. And what was it that pumped them up? It was the word. Well, watch what they're going to do in verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Another 2.5 hours? And it's late and it's dark. You just walk 2.5 hours and it's late in their minds. So what? We just saw the resurrected Christ. And they were so excited. Word of God sometimes will give you energy. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. And when they walked in, what they heard, saying, verse 34, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. That day, Simon Peter got a one-on-one with the resurrected Christ. And they, the two guys, so they walked in and said, yeah, the Lord's risen. He appeared unto Simon. And then these guys started talking, verse 35. And they told what things were done in the way. Well, what things were done in the way? The scriptures. A wonderful teaching from Genesis all the way to Malachi. Every verse about Jesus Christ. And so not only, you know, that, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Oh my gosh, everybody's excited. They get with the 11 and the others, and they hear them saying, he's risen, he appeared unto Simon. And they're like, yeah, and we were going to Emmaus, and then he starts sharing all these verses with us, and then we broke bread, and then all of a sudden, boop, Jesus Christ is in there. Another record set, doesn't it say they were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews? So I know there were more than 13 people there because it was 11. plus Cleophas and this other guy and the others. So I don't know, was it 20 people or whatever? Can you imagine right now in this room where we're at, all of a sudden somebody just pops up in front of you? Hello, peace be with you. It wouldn't be normal. No, it would startle us all, wouldn't it? Of course it would. Well, that's what happened there. Peace be unto you. Then verse 37. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. This is a spirit being. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts... What kind of thoughts? Thoughts of this is, we're looking at a spirit. Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. It's I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. So that's the first thing you wanted to address. I'm real. I'm real. Little sidebar, Jesus Christ in his resurrected body here said very plainly that he was not a spirit. He had flesh and bones, and a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. And it says in Philippians that we are going to receive a body fashioned like his resurrected body. Flesh and bones when we meet him in the clouds. Cool, huh? Verse 39, he said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me. And see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he's like, okay, you guys got any food here? Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And I imagine they're just like, looking, watching. He's like, well, it's pretty good fish. Would you catch this, Peter? Some good stuff. Ooh, honeycomb, nice and sweet. Yum, yum. In his resurrected body, he was flesh and bones, and he could eat. And we're getting a body fashioned like unto his resurrected body, which means we'll get to eat. And that's comforting for Italians. Now it gets really great here, because watch what happens once he got them settled down. Verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Man, oh man. That's just awesome. That's what God would have us to understand the scriptures. What it says in Ephesians, whereby when you read, you may understand. Places in the scripture where God says, I don't want you to be ignorant. God wants us to understand the scriptures. In Timothy, it says that God would have all people to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. What a day this was. That they might understand the scriptures. Verse 46. And said unto him, thus it is written. And thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Boy, in this record here in Luke, look at the emphasis throughout this whole record of the scriptures, the word of God, God's word. Understanding the scriptures. And the emphasis that Jesus Christ put on it on that very day. You know, you could have just been, look, I'm up, da-da-da-da, come out of the grave. It was like, look, the scriptures, boys, the scriptures. Got to understand the scriptures. Very important. Verse 49, as this concludes, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And this kind of dovetails with Acts 1, which Luke also wrote, which covers the ascension. It's a cool record, isn't it? It's just what a day that was. And Jesus Christ is alive, he is risen, and he's coming back to get us. And before I pray, some of you may remember this great song by Leon Hansen, which he got from the Gospel of John regarding Jesus Christ appearing to Mary. So let's see if I can utilize the technology. If you folks on the phone hook up, you might not be able to hear this song very good, but I'm going to attempt to put it on the website. Yeah, Mary Magdalene, she's the first one to see Jesus Christ. Here we go.
He was laid in the tomb. They put soldiers round about. No one could get to him. He certainly wouldn't come out. 3 days and three nights in the earth he lay. Until late in the afternoon, the angel came and rolled the stone away. Early in the morning, Mary came to the tomb. But something was wrong. The stone was gone. There was only the empty room. But he was standing right behind her, watching her as she cried, waiting to share his joy with her, the joy he had inside. Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? She supposed he was the gardener, so turning to him she implored, tell me where have you laid him? I'll come and take him away. She could hardly believe it when she heard him say, Mary, he's alive.
Song. Oh my goodness. Father God, thank you for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for all that he suffered and endured. Thank you for his obedience to you in carrying out your great plan of salvation and redemption. And thank you, Father, for raising him from the dead to die no more. And for your great promise that you will send him back one day to gather us together. And until then, Father, may we live the life that you've given us to live. May we enjoy the rights, privileges, and abilities that we have as born-again ones. May we walk with the love of God in our hearts. And may we, Father, have open doors to spread the good news that Jesus Christ is alive and that people can accept him and get eternal life. Thank you for the privilege of sharing this morning, and what a wonderful day it is to remember the resurrection of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.